From one islander to another, Isle of Wight Radio proudly presents John Hannam Meets.
Welcome to another John Hannam Meets. Recently, they repeated a wonderful series called Last Laugh in Vegas, starring Cannonball, Kenny Lynch, Bobby Crush, Nita Harris, Jess Conrad, Sue Pollard, Bernie Clifton, and there's one other, a bald-headed comedian who's actually sat right alongside me, the wonderful Mick Miller. You stole the show that night, mate.
Oh, thank you. How are you, John? All right.
Very nice to see you.
Nice to see you again. Yeah.
We met first, 1983, Sandown Pavilion. You were supporting the Supremes.
I was, yes. That was a tour, yes.
Yeah.
That was with Mary Wilson. She was the...
Yes, that's right.
She was the headliner.
Yeah.
That was a great little tour, that.
Telling me. I must talk about Vegas because they've recently repeated it, haven't they?
They have, yes. Well, but you get no money for it.
Really?
No, you don't get any money for it.
Was it tough? Because I couldn't take to the American guy and he couldn't seem to take to the British for a while, could he?
Yeah. Well, it's a total different thing, Vegas, and it's very brash and all the bit. But I work on the cruise ships, so I'm used to Americans, and I know how to work them, you know. You've got to explain it and then hit them with the punchline. So once they know what you're talking about, you know, they don't get British humour as such. But I talk about life. So once you talk about aeroplanes and hotels and fathers and mothers and all that, they get it.
You burst on perfect for America, Hulk Hogan and Donald Trump, the first two gags, didn't you?
Well, that's, well, with the hairstyle, obviously, that, I thought the Trump thing was, well, they loved that. That was like the killer, you know. So, yeah, and I really enjoyed it. It was a great, great little venue, you know. And I'm sure you know the place where we stayed?
Yes.
I'm sure that was a brothel.
Really?
I'm sure it was a brothel. Because if you look back at it, I mean, there's swimming pools all over the place, there's barbecues, there was like 12 bedrooms, and it was all a bit weird. But outside was the name of it, and it was called Dreams and Desires.
Really?
It was, yes.
One of the funniest things was when Jess, who was a bit of a pain in the arse at times, as long as the room had a big mirror, he was happy.
Oh, yeah? That was, yes, yeah. Yeah. That was, well, Jess is known for that, you know.
Yes.
He's famous for being Jess.
Yes.
You know, I mean, Bebop Alubula, he reckons that was his hit.
And, yes.
And it wasn't, you know. But everyone loves Jess because he thinks he's, you know.
Yeah.
And he plays on it and he gets away with it.
One or two got a little bit at times, didn't they? But
well, I mean, that's showbiz, isn't it?
You know
what I mean? I've always been quite a quiet person, so I just stay in the background and don't say anything and prove it on the stage. That's what you've got to do.
First time I've ever seen you as an Elvis impersonator as well.
I don't know whose idea that was. I was trying to get Bernie involved with that. I said, why don't you do it, Bernie? But they said no. And then the producer, you know, John K. Cooper, who I worked for London Weekend, you know, he did all the big theatre, you know, TV shows. John was great, and he went, well, no, Mick, you know, with bald Elvis, you know, it's just funny. And I went, yeah, you're
right. It was. I was thinking about you the other day when I was thinking about football and you at Port Vale, and I have a friend who was at Swindon, and he sort of left and went into the prison service, and he's done well, better than being a footballer all those years ago, and you sort of went into showbiz, and you're still going, aren't you?
Yes, yeah, after, well, I'm 70 this year. I was the youngest on the show, I think, on the Vegas thing.
Yes.
No, Sue Pollard, bless her heart.
Yes.
And Anita. We don't know how old Anita is. She's amazing. She's a beautiful lady.
Yes.
But for football, I mean, it broke my heart when I had to leave it because I wasn't good enough, basically. But then got onto this game. And, of course, football, you finished at 30, 35.
Exactly.
This game, you know, you're still learning your trade at 35.
A couple of good things for you was New Faces, obviously, wasn't it?
Yeah, New Faces gave me the first big break. That was when people used to... I mean, there was New Faces on a Saturday night. I think there was like 23 million watched
it. Yeah, and they made stars, didn't they?
And it was just before everyone went out to the clubs.
Yeah.
So when you got on there, and especially with my hairstyle, you know, I'm remembered.
It's a godsend to you, your
hairstyle. It is, yeah, and it just grew this way, and I just kept it the way it is.
Stuart Littlewood was quite good for you because you moved to him for a while, didn't you?
Yes, well, I was in Bournemouth, and when I was a blue coat, the guy that used to look after us there was a guy called David Lever, and he booked all the blue coats and all the cabaret and everything. And he saw me, you know, doing quite well, and he said, well, don't stay down Bournemouth because there's not a lot of work in the winter. I'll put you with Stuart Littlewood. And then, of course, I did all the big clubs then. And I was supporting people like Tommy Cooper.
Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry at Batley Variety Club.
Can you believe it? What did you think about that?
Well, do you know, I queued up. I had my suit and I arrived. And I didn't know he was on. It was just a Sunday afternoon. Well, usually, you know, Sunday afternoon in a club is strippers and pints, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, I got to Batley and the queue was round the club. And I queued up and I got to the doorman at the front and I went, I'm the comic. And he went, stage doors around the back. So I went stage door and I came in, there's all these, you know, minders.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he sat on a stool for my show and he watched the whole first show of mine.
Did he?
And when it came off, he went, hey, I dig you, man.
Did he?
Yeah.
I bet you any money you like, he needed paying in cash before the gig, because that's how we worked.
What he did was, they told me, yeah, it was cash.
Yes.
But all he wanted was a drummer and a bass player that could vamp, you know, they didn't need to read music.
No.
It was just, you know, a drummer and a bass player. And he got two local lads, and they did the, you know.
Of course, the Comedians was fantastic for you, wasn't it?
Oh, Comedians was fabulous. I mean, I was on the Originals, I was on the second lot, which was 1979. The Originals was 72, with all the big names, you know, the Frank Carson, Bernard Manning, Charlie Williams, Mike Reed, Tom O'Connor.
Did Johnny Hamp spot you on a Pier show in Blackpool, is that right?
Blackpool, yeah. He saw me in 1978. I was on the South Pier with the Grumbleweeds.
Wow.
And then he got me in because he was bringing the Comedians back. And he added three, you know, to the Originals. He added Stan Boardman, Roy Walker and myself. And I was the only bald one.
Yes.
And I was the youngest. I was 28, I think.
I've got a secret. I was at my crosswits, but now I can name that tune. It's high on a question of entertainment, but the password isn't Gambit or Zodiac. It's John Hannam meets on Isle of Wight Radio, and that's news to me.
Des O'Connor was so kind to you comics, wasn't he? I mean, he gave so many a chance, didn't he, Mick?
Well, because Des started as a comic, you know, before the singing, he just loved comics, you know. Des can give you, like, when you do his show, you'd go in like three times with him in the afternoon and he'd say, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And then he'd put five words on the screen, you know, on the idiot board, they'd say. And he'd just let you go then. He'd say, now, what about, where have you been flying this week? Bang, I'm in. And then, oh, what about football, Mick? What about bang? You know, so there's only five words and he'd just let you flow, you know.
The funny side, you co-hosted that, didn't you? That series?
Yeah, that was with Mike Smith and Cheryl Baker.
Yes.
And that was the funny side of life, really. Funny side of dating. The funny side of pets. Yeah, that was quite a good series, yeah.
You were on sort of an early reality show, really. You did Kings of Comedy, which was sort of reality, wasn't
it? Yeah, that was like Channel 4. That was way on Channel 4. In the early days, when they had a Channel 4-4, I think it was called. And that was great because they put like five alternatives. We call them alternatives, you know, young guys.
Yes.
And it was supposed to be five mainstream. And there was Stan Boardman, myself, David Copperfield.
Oh, yes.
The other two didn't turn up. We don't know who they were. But yeah, I enjoyed it because I do the comedy clubs.
Yeah,
so
I
was accepted.
Johnny Vegas' dad you played too, didn't you, in the series?
Ideal, yeah. That was great fun. I did four series of that. And that was real good fun.
Mick, I watched you the other night on the 2011 Royal Variety when you did your noddy thing. And I was thinking, how nervous were you? Because you looked so calm.
I was nervous, but that was Peter Kay got me that.
Really?
Peter phoned me because he was comparing it. And he said, we need 6 minutes in between Penn and Teller and Singing in the Rain.
Right.
Because they had to put all these water jets in.
Yeah.
And put the things down, you know, to hold the water. And he said, you're not going to be on the show, but it's just a theatre act only. So I wasn't supposed to be on the show. I was supposed to be a fill-in.
Really?
But they film it, and then...
ever so funny.
3 days later, me and Steve, my manager, we were driving down to London, and we got a phone call, and they said, well, is that good? We've put it in.
Millions have watched that online. It's amazing.
But the only sad thing about it was I didn't meet the royals.
Oh.
And I didn't do the walk down. So, yeah, that was the saddest thing, really.
Now, Comedy Store, obviously, the young comics, you sort of, a lot of, with due respect, a lot of older comics can't sort of cope with the Comedy Store, but you can, can't you?
Yeah, I've made the transition, you might say, because what I do is they accept me. You know, you can't, you know, slag them off. You know, you've got to, if you've got guts to get on that stage, you know, you deserve a bit of respect. So I admire these young lads, you know, and some of them are very, very funny.
Very.
Yeah.
I remember watching Bob Monkhouse on one of his last shows. Do you remember when all the young comics were there?
They're all sat there, yeah. That was incredible.
Then you decided to sort of go on your own management for a while, didn't you? Was that a good idea?
That was great. Well, I left the guy I was with for, I'd been with him 20 years, but I think he was just keeping me back. You know, he wasn't bothered about, I mean, I heard a story that Peter Gay phoned up for a part for me in Phoenix Nights. And this manager I was with, and he went, how much is it? Well, acting money is not the same, you know.
No.
And it was like £200. Ah, bollocks. Put the phone down. And I found that out from Peter.
Did you? You did car share with him, didn't you?
Yes, yes. Yeah. That was another phone call. And he went, I need 5 minutes in this thing. And I was like highly delighted because there wasn't many guests. There was only Reese Shearsmith. He was the fishmonger, you know, the smelly fishmonger.
Yeah.
And the other one was me, you know, in the dodgy cafe and the I love fat boys, big boys, wasn't it?
Why have you lasted so long? Because you're still here and you people still
like you? I still enjoy what I do, you know, and I love meeting people. And I've done Warners for the last, would you believe, 30 years.
I can remember. Did you bring a sort of a caravan type thing over here on one occasion or not?
No. I always stayed on site.
I know I've interviewed you in past summers when you were doing a lot of gigs on the Isle of Wight.
Yes, well, I used to do all the Warners. I mean, I did where we are now at Norton Grange, and it was children as well, you know. So I used to come down from up north, across to the island. I used to do St. Clair.
Yeah, Puckpool.
Well, St. Clair first,
yeah.
And then drive over to here.
Right.
Do this show, then go back to St. Clair, stay there. The next night, Puckpool. Then back on the ferry over, and I used to do Halen Island.
Yeah.
The three on there. And then down to Lyme Bay, where they had one there.
Oh, yeah.
And then drive up north for the weekend.
Of course, you cruise a lot, but cruising, as we speak, of course, is non-existent.
Yeah,
isn't it?
That was the first cruise I've done for 6 months, coming over on the ferry.
It was a long trip, wasn't it? Today?
Yeah, but I mean, I miss them because I do the I do all the lines. You know, I do all the posh ones and all the little ones and all the, you know, the cheaper ones. You know, I love the Queen Mary 2. That's an absolutely fabulous ship. Yeah, but I do them all, P&O, you know. It's a shame now they're all just off Weymouth, you know. And when I see them on the news, I go, like, I've been on every one of them ships.
Yeah. They're taking little launches round the cruise ships. You've done a few theatre tours too, haven't you? Sort of package shows.
Yeah, we did one with Billy Pearce and Jimmy Cricket.
Yes.
Which was quite good. And then I did one with Frank Carson, of course. We're still doing them. Still, I do odd gigs as well. I've just done a DVD in a comedy club in Liverpool.
Have you?
Yeah. That's, you can get that on from the website, or it's you can stream it.
Can you?
I think it's about £6. to stream it. So, yeah, it's called Mick Miller Old School Comedy. Old School.
Can I just ask you, because you, like all pros, you've been not working very much. When you suddenly get the opportunities like now, how do you sort of cope with that? Is it easy to get straight back in?
I'm very nervous, actually. You know, I'm on at 10 o'clock. I'm very, very nervous because it's very strange, really, you know. I have to keep looking at my DVDs to see what... I might ask the audience what I used to do.
Well, it's fantastic. Any ambitions just before you go? I know you've got to go to work in a minute.
No, not really. I love what I do. Be nice when the cruisers come back. But, you know, good on Warners because they're all up and running,
yes,
you know, which is fabulous. Yeah. So, and this was in the book anyway.
Yes, I know that, yeah.
So that was, you know, you just, we never cancel anything until people say, sorry, we can't do it, you know.
Strangely enough, Mick, the last one I did here before lockdown was Marty Wilde. And within 2 days, everything had shut down, you know.
Yeah.
And you're the first one I've done here at Norton Crane since then.
Well, I've got another one coming up in Lytham. I'm doing a drive-in.
Are you?
A drive-in comedy night, yeah. Phil Walker, Roy Walker's son.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
Well, Phil lives up there, and he tried one the other month, and it worked. Of course, you have a big screen up, and then you stand at the side of it, so everyone can see you on the big screen. They're all in the cars, and they tune into Bluetooth.
Oh, yeah.
And it comes through your car radio.
Can I just ask you finally, what do you write away from business? What, if you can relax, how do you do that, really?
I've got a caravan. I've got a caravan in the lakes, in the Lake
have
District.
You?
Yes, in Bowness. I have a caravan there, and it's only an hour from Blackpool, where I live. So, yeah, I spend a lot of time up there. You know, take the dogs up there and do a bit of walking, and, yeah.
What's been the greatest thrill in the life of Mick Miller on the stage, really? What's been the greatest thing, do you think?
I would say the Vegas.
Yeah.
Because
you never expected to go to Vegas.
I mean, that's on your, you know, your bucket list, isn't it? You know.
Oh, yes.
And I've done them now. I've done the Royal Command. I've done television. I worked Australia. I've done everything. So Vegas was just the icing on the cake.
Finally, you all sort of went on little outings, didn't you? Some went out with Sue Ballard.
Yes.
Did you go on the horses? I can't remember.
No, I went out to meet the Native Americans.
That's right.
Yeah. That was when Jess said, oh, I love him. He's given me his email address. I went, how can a guy in a teepee give you an email address?
Mick, thanks for your time.
Lovely to see you again.
It's always a pleasure to see you. You're one of the nice guys in showbiz, and I really appreciate that. And lots of luck in the future, mate.
Thanks very much, John.
It's great. He's got a swell personality. He meets and greets the stars with such amenity. Good enough to make you coming out of the street. John Hannamade. That's right.
Thanks to Mick Miller for that wonderful interview. Such a great character. Grateful thanks also to Warners at Norton Grange for making that interview possible during these difficult times. Please go to my website, johnhannam.com, for news of future interviews. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye for now.
Well, that was super smashing great, wasn't it? Jim Bourne here, just reminding you, you've been listening to John Hannam.